Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
This is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by a Spurs supporting comedian, Jake Lambert, who was on good form.
He was. Looking forward to getting back out on the road.
He was, that's right. We spoke to the chairman of Woburn and Wavendon FC. They had a brush with Hollywood stardom, didn't they? Tom Cruise.
Yeah, didn't play for them.
No. No, it's a shame. It was a wasted opportunity. And
he was just on the front of a train hurtling along like he normally is.
Well, we had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did a quiz.
We did do a couple of quizzes, yeah. Okay, so...
Whose quiz do you think was... I think yours was actually...
You think it was better?
Simpler, but better.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Good. Yeah. Well, you put much more into yours. I just got up a wiki page. Anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. A little bit of politics about, isn't there, today?
Cool, a little bit of politics, yeah.
I mean, I'm really starting to think the country might be in better hands if TalkSport presenters were put in charge.
You know, really?
I think Ali's leader. Alan in charge of health.
Alan.
Yes.
Alan is the leader.
Ali.
Oh, okay.
Ali McCoy's leading.
Right,
Alan is health minister.
Yeah.
I think Jim's a press officer. Adrian's doing the diplomacy. I can see it all.
You can see it all. Have you seen the Woody Allen film Bananas?
I haven't.
Yeah, it's all taking shape. Yeah, good
round
idea.
Round pegs in round holes there.
Indeed.
It was interesting to hear Adrian at the top of Drive getting very angry with Gareth Southgate for not naming the 23 or whatever he wanted.
26.
Just name 11 now and let's go.
The courage of your conviction. That would be quite a statement, wouldn't it? If you if you'd say, okay, I'll give you the 11 now. I'm only taking 11.
Yeah,
my boys don't get injured. They do not get injured. So here's the 11, and that's all I'm. They don't want subs. Don't need subs. They're fit and they never get injured.
Anyway, I don't think. I think
that would put the fear of God into Germany, wouldn't it? It's a strategy. It's worth thinking about.
I just think it didn't make any. I just think it makes total sense what Southgate is doing. And, you know, let's see what happens tonight, right? And let's see what happens on Saturday, and then we can reassess. There's no issue with that at all. I may have reached, I don't know about you, Paul, we've all got a quota on how much we can bear talking about right-backs. I think I may be just reaching that level of, I can't talk about England right-backs anymore. I just feel, maybe that's too early. I've gone too early.
Well,
I did too much of it yesterday. How many times can I say Aaron Wan-Bissaka before it doesn't sound like a name anymore? It's just a collection of words.
Isn't it a good problem to have? Can you say that? It's a great problem to have.
It's a great problem for Gareth Southgate to have. Yeah. It's not a great problem for us to have, to keep having to talk about what a great problem it is for Gareth Southgate to have.
We don't say about anything else, do we? I mean, that turn of phrase, I've got gout, was a great problem to have. No, it isn't. It's just not. It's just a problem. I mean, I haven't got gout, but I haven't got gout. No, if I had it would make me a bad. But I haven't.
Okay.
But all I'm making the point.
I'm not sure. Who's telling? I don't know who to believe anymore.
It's a great,
maybe you do have gout. I don't know.
It's a great problem. I've got a boil on the end of my nose.
I've got a little sty. Can you see it on there?
I've noticed that.
Tiny little scar.
Quite a pathetic voice you put on with that. Is that the one you do at home? I've got a little star.
Well, that's the Stein
not
voice,
Bert Trautman,
isn't it? Yeah. Oh, anyway, it's a great problem to have, obviously. Yeah. Anyone knows how to treat it, because I don't know. Okay, an abusive
power?
You
do lean on the listeners a lot. If it's not your whistling tap, it's your sty, isn't it? There'll be an old wives' tale. You've got to rub, a sort of bit of old white bread on it for 2 hours.
That's fine.
Be one of them.
I only have sourdough in my Waitrose. What?
Yeah,
you say mighty
crust
white?
Of the sourdough. Okay. Your cut will open up. It'll be too, like Henry Cooper. Okay, anyway.
It's maybe an abuse of power, but I'd love to know.
It does sound like the title of sort of something arty, but chainsaws at the Giro d'Italia. At the cycling, you may have seen a bit of footage. Max put it out earlier on. Giro d'Italia cycling. Fellas hurtling up a hill. And a couple of boys emerge, as they do, of course, in the cycling, to cheer them on. And I thought at first, when you sent it to me, they had leaf blowers.
Oh, no.
And were revving these leaf blowers, but they were chainsaws. It's so all we can think is they are tree fellows who are in the area who took in some cycling on a lunch break.
Possible.
And then kept the chainsaws in their hands and were revving them. And surprisingly, it did make the cyclist go quicker. But if some of them was after me with a chainsaw, I think I'd get a bit of a wriggle on, wouldn't you?
That's Egan Bernal.
Bernal, Colombian,
He's leading, isn't he? From the Ineos Grenadiers. Yeah. It was the Paso Giao during stage 16.
Oh, of course it was,
Well, that's where you're allowed to take chainsaws, I believe, at the Paso Giao.
Stage 16, it's a free-for-all. You can take cannons using a previous motif.
You say that, so we want to ask, do the most random object you've seen at a sporting event.
Yeah.
Someone, Chris, got in touch to say, I'm sure I saw a guy at the Tour de France running next to a cyclist with a mummified pig in one hand and a gun in the other. He was wearing just a pair of Speedos. And someone has sent me a photo. He's in shorts rather than Speedos.
Yeah.
But he has got in his left, under his left arm, he's got a wild boar. There it is. There's a picture for you. I'll retweet it to everybody.
It's dead, is it?
I believe it's dead.
Yeah.
And he's also holding a pistol. It could be a drill. It's hard to tell. Either way, it's not, it's not a rattle, is it? It's not a scarf and a rattle.
It's not. We asked the listeners years ago about stuff that had been handed in, lost and found at the game. And I think a safety officer or someone got in touch and said they were handed in a nurse's uniform with size 12 black stilettos at St James's Park. Sorry, I found this, and then they sort of handed it in. But I take it this was pre-match. It was all part of a stag do. I guess this was what the groom was supposed to wear for the game. I don't know if it was black and white or just black. But, so a nurse's uniform with a black stiletto.
I came in dressed as a nurse.
Yeah,
it's all gone.
It's just suddenly I've got my Newcastle shirt on. So some of the oddest items you have witnessed at a sport. It doesn't have to be football. Obviously, most things get confiscated at the gates from a football point of view.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul, would you like to do a quiz?
Is it quite quick?
It's relatively quick, yeah. Well,
okay.
I don't know if I said it was 20 minutes long. Would you
say
no?
Can we nail it in less than 45 minutes?
Oh, we can. I reckon it could take you about 30 seconds.
Okay, go on.
Okay, but maybe up to a minute. And it's, in some ways, a bit of birthday spread training for you. So that's good, isn't it? I'm going to give you three numbers, okay? The numbers are 30, 45 and 50, okay?
Yeah.
And I would like you to assign the correct number for the story that it fits in the papers today.
Okay,
yeah. They're all sort of on things that are a certain number of years old. Okay, so one story. Oh, good, excellent.
Tension music.
An overflowing drain, which has been the subject of complaints for blank years, has finally been repaired by the local council in Weymouth, Dorset. Okay, I'll give you all three.
Okay.
And then you can put them together.
All right, then.
Okay,
so drains. Drains is one, yeah.
You've got the drain is one.
Yeah.
Nurse Sammy Applin found a blank-year-old fairy liquid washing up bottle during a beach clean.
Yeah.
Sammy, 29, who spotted it in Brighton, said it was scary how well the container had survived.
Yeah.
And finally, a penguin has celebrated her blank birthday, double that of her life expectancy. Minnie, the Humboldt, one of the oldest in the world, was treated to tasty fish to mark the occasion at Harewood House in Leeds. So 30, 45 and 50. You've got the drain, the fairy liquid bottle and the penguin. To win the prize, you have to match all three.
Now, I have to tell you at this point that my quiz did involve the penguin.
Okay, that's an issue.
So I do know that.
Glad we're thinking on the same lines.
I do know that is 30.
That is correct.
So it's now down to drains.
Okay.
I'm going to go for a 50-year-old fairy liquid bottle and 45-year-old drains.
Many congratulations, Paul.
Is it right?
You're today's winner.
Oh,
there you are.
That's got me in the mood.
Okay.
See, I went a bit more obvious.
Okay.
So, Humboldt penguin, 30 years.
30
and
years
I was thinking, I wouldn't know what was old for a penguin.
No, I wouldn't. Have you done some other animals?
How long does a catfish live? what would you say is the lifespan of a catfish?
Is this the oldest ever or the average?
Let's have a look. Lifespans, I think it's the average lifespan.
Average lifespan
in years, not catfish years, human years.
I'm not very good at this.
I'll give you five of these. I'll rattle through them. Okay. Listeners, bear, we can play along.
23.
No, 60 years a catfish can live. How many times could that get caught over the years? That's not so bad. Let's pick another one then. What about hummingbird? Hummingbird. How long does a hummingbird live for?
Seven.
That's quite good. Eight. Okay, I'd say that's quite good. You're learning. See, this is educating it and is, possibly even entertaining. Yeah. The porcupine. What about the porcupine? How long was the
41.
Porcupine? 41. Okay. You didn't give it a lot of thought, did you?
No, I'm pretty confident.
20 years. If you've got a 41-year-old porcupine, you're doing well.
It's the same with the penguin. It's double the age. Yeah.
I know the missus is Australian. Wombat. What about you? You're going wower tonight when you get back to tell her. Would she know the average lifespan of a wombat?
11.
Not bad, 15.
Okay.
And you want one more?
I'd love
one.
I could do this for hours, Paul, and I'd be entertained.
The great horned owl. The great horned owl. How long does that that live for?
32.
68. Oh. So there we are, fairly pointless. But we've got.
I'm 66, don't you know, said the old horned owl.
That's right, you're on a quiz show. You get a great horned owl. No, the worst ones for that are probably Galapagos tortoises, aren't they? They'd be a nightmare, would they? Yes, we'll tell you. I'm 193, you know, 193. Yeah, and they get a round of applause from the audience.
So I recommend it as a travel location, the Galapagos.
You've been, have you?
I've been, it's really tremendous. Because even if the animal, obviously the big tortoises are great and exciting, but even if it's kind of quite a generic, boring bird, there are so many of them that en masse, any type, singular
animal.
Not if
you're Jonathan Wilson, they're pecking at you as you go running.
That's a very good point. Yeah. But en masse, a blue-footed booby, it's a tremendous thing.
You are.
Thoroughly, come on! Surely we're better than that, aren't we?
I don't think we are.
I've dragged you into the gutter. Took me a few months, but there we go.
I don't think we are.
You are. Your mum is. Here we go. Right.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, we're always happy to speak to comedians, sport-loving comedians, about their forthcoming shows and have a bit of a sporting chat. And it's a joy now to be actually talking to people who've got live shows in front of real people. We've spent quite a lot of the year helping people chat about their sort of Zoom their Zoom gigs or whatever, and this is so much better. Brighton Fringe Festival, Jake Lambert with his show Shimmy Shake. He's a Tottenham fan. Hiya, Jake.
Hello, how are you?
Well, yeah, not good, bad. I mean, if it's a relief for us to talk about it, I'm sure it's a joy for you to actually be doing it.
Oh, God, yeah. It's amazing. I had my first weekend of gigs this week, and then I was actually in a proper theatre on Monday night. It was incredible.
Yeah. So what are the crowds like? Have you noticed any difference? Or they just sort of slip straight back into it? Is there a different dynamic now you're back in front of people again?
Yeah, well, they weren't wearing masks a year ago.
No, that's true.
So that's been a bit different. But they've actually been fine. I did this theatre and they were social distanced, but because the light's in your face anyway, you can't see them. So it was actually just felt normal.
Mm. Have they remembered how they're meant to, you know, have you remembered how to be funny in front of them? And have they remembered what to do? They're giddy and just laughing at everything. Or have they all just forgotten what humour is in this time?
Well, luckily for me, they seem to just want to laugh at absolutely anything.
Good stuff.
It made it a lot easier for me because I might have forgot how to do it.
Your show is called Shimmy Shake. Tell us why.
Oh, well, I wish I had an answer. But basically, a lot of people, you have to come up with a title months before you actually do the show. Mm. And a lot of people sort of do that, and then you go and see the show, and it's like nothing about what the title suggests. Right. So I thought, if my title suggests nothing, then I can't disappoint people.
It covers a lot of ground, doesn't it? But including epilepsy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess Shimmy Shake could mean that, but that wasn't even intentional.
No.
But yeah, I talk about that. I talk about working at Legoland. I talk about lots of things.
What did you do at Legoland?
What were you at Legoland?
It was my first job. Was working at Legoland because I'm from originally from Slough. So basically, if you're from Slough, you go to Legoland when you're 16.
Was it like national service, like conscription?
Yeah. You go either to work or to take your kids. One of the two.
Yeah. I'm very tempted to say, what's it like on your first day? Were you bricking it? But I'm not going to. I promise.
I'm off.
Yeah. I was impressed. That's fair. That one. Yeah. Can we talk about Spurs, Jake? Paul is a Spurs fan.
Oh,
Spurs are my. I'm a Cambridge fan, but Spurs are my big team who win things. Every day, Paul comes in sort of looking even sadder about who is the favourite to get the Spurs job. Yeah. He was sort of deeply let down yesterday by the thought of Roberto Martinez. Who would you like? I mean, it's been a shower this year, hasn't it, Jake?
Yeah, it's been horrific. I mean, I'll be honest, it's hard to go out at the minute being a Tottenham fan. I'll be happy for another lockdown. But I think for me, I don't know, maybe Conte, he could do something. Proven. I know that ex-Chelsea haven't exactly been brilliant for us. But who has?
Yeah. I mean, he'd be
ex-anybody.
The only thing I would say, Jake, is that I think if he is going to leave Inter, it's because they've kind of tightened the purse strings. So you have to question why he's coming to Tottenham, really, don't you?
Yeah, well, I think I'd question anybody who came to Tottenham at the minute. I feel like, I don't know, what are your thoughts on the Kane thing? Do you reckon he's going to go?
Yeah, I mean, in all likelihood, as we were saying, you don't beat Leicester 4-2 and get in the conference plate and then have a two-minute hug with two of your best friends in football in the centre circle. That's not the way you tend to celebrate a 4-2 win at Leicester, is it? It felt like it was more significant than that.
Are you resigned to it, Jake? What do you think?
I don't know. When I read about it, I thought he was going. Then I actually saw the interview and I thought he was a bit more balanced than I thought. The only good thing, if he does go, I think would be the entertainment factor of Gary Neville starting the whole thing and him ended up at Man City.
Yes, that is true. Also, I do think no one would do an exhibition of not celebrating against their former club than when Harry Kane puts his fifth in at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for Man City. His palms will be so open.
He'll beat himself on the back with birch. Exactly. That's right. He will self-flagellate.
I'm so sorry I just scored 20 goals against you in one game as Eric Dyer slightly out of position again and Harry Kane does exactly.
Or what if he changed? What if he got to City and he got into, that kind of very competitive and then was right in front of the... ran up...
the bat.
Yeah, he did an Adebayor, ran up the other end, slid on his knees in front of the wall. That would be great, wouldn't it? In front of the Park Lane. I can't see him doing that. But I think it's the decision is to be made, Jake, isn't it? That, make the decision, get the money, let the new man spend it, and rather than doing the deal on the 31st of August and that money can't be spent. So a decision has to be made by the chairman. He has to get on with it with Harry Kane. And, I think the player and the club need to know what's going on, really.
Yeah, and us fans.
Yeah, indeed.
That would be nice.
That would,
we'll find out at the bottom.
We'll find out probably just the day after the season ticket deadline. I'm still getting reminders. It's like they're chasing me from a gas bill. Don't forget, June the 3rd, you better hurry up.
Daniel Levy knocking at your door.
Don't worry, Daniel. I've got until June the 3rd to make my mind up. If you give it to Roberto Martinez, I think you'll find I won't be buying a new one.
Can I ask a question, Jake, about... you've obviously done lots of panel shows. You've written for lots of panel shows as well. I know you write quite a lot as well,
yes,
Paul. Is it annoying if you write a brilliant gag and someone else delivers it on, 8 out of 10 cats on Mock the Week? Are you sort of going, well, that is...
Well, if they kill it, that's more annoying.
Is it a rite of passage or is it a bit like, oh, no, that was mine. At least credit me with that.
I don't mind if the joke goes badly because that's on them and no one knows I wrote it.
Yeah.
But if it goes well, it's annoying. And then, but ultimately, I mean, between us three and the listeners, I never give them the best stuff.
Oh right, yeah, okay.
That's for me. That can be seen at Brighton this weekend.
So the producers of
but do they come and say cheers? Like, you know, if someone's, I've done some work for someone. Yeah. I mean, I very rarely say anything funny, but I'm not going to give it to anyone else.
I worked with a comedian once who gag thievery. So they were the star of the show and wrote some lines, and another character in this little sketch had the line, and the turn came up afterwards and said, "It's a good line, Paul. I think it works better for me, though. If you actually..." So basically said, "Rewrite it so I say it." Because he got the biggest laugh in the run-through. I don't know if you've had experienced that before, Jake.
Yeah, I think you just have to... Well, luckily, I think when I'm doing comedy live, that's my main thing that I enjoy. Mm. So I do also get the gratitude of doing it. And you just have to sort of... If it ever annoys me... I mean, this sounds quite crass, but I'll look at the bank balance and it's all fine.
Yeah. It's all about the money, isn't it? Professional football, professional comedy. Yeah. That's right. Well, look, good to talk to you. We wish you well with the show.
Oh, you too.
It's a Brighton Fringe Festival, work in progress, 28th to 30th.
Oh, yeah.
24th of June. And, yeah, and hope it all goes well. And let's hope we get a decent manager in. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'll see you on the other side.
Indeed. Cheers then. That's Jake Lambert there. Shimmy Shake is his show. Go and check him out. You find him on social media and online, and Brighton Fringe Festival details as well.
On the question, the most random thing you've seen someone carrying at a sports event, Goffey's been in touch.
Oh, Goffey, yeah.
But he's a sportsman at another event. But anyway, Dylan Hartley, a teapot at V Festival. He never let go of it. So
really?
What happens to open it up to what's the most random thing you've seen a sports person?
Dylan Hartley walked around the V Festival with a teapot like an affectation. Yeah. I said, well, why was he doing that?
Well, I don't have any more information
for you. Was he sponsored by Yorkshire Tea or
quite
something?
Possible. There are so many options. Yeah. But we could open the subject up to what's the most random thing you've seen a sports star carrying.
Yeah, I mean, well, within Goffey's reason, taking obviously. Us in a new direction. Yeah. Fantastic, yeah. Blimey, Cummins is still going. He's doing a longer set than Bruce Springsteen.
He'll probably end with Rosalita
or Born to Run.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, you may have seen pictures in your papers a short while ago of Tom Cruise in the UK making the... He seemed to be on a sort of a model steam railway making the latest Mission Impossible. Well, I think they'll obviously have some budget cuts on the latest
what
one.
What scene's that one?
I don't know.
The 00-gauge Hornby.
I think it may have been... I don't know. They'll do it all in post. But he also found
quite small, I guess. Maybe on a 00-gauge.
That looks like a normal train. It probably would.
It's the secret to his entire career.
Now, Woburn and Wavendon FC, he basically he got his chopper and in he came and landed on their pitch.
Right, you are, okay.
Yes, and there he is on the pitch, and they're thinking, oh, this is great. We can't train, we can't play. That's no good to anybody, is it? But thankfully, he's a good lad, it seems, and did his little bit for non-league football. So we're going to find out more about that now. Robert Hill is the chairman of Woburn and Wavendon. Good afternoon, Robert.
Afternoon, chaps.
Was it seen as a bit of an... When you got the call saying, can Tom Cruise land his helicopter on the pitch, how did you feel about that?
Well, it was a little bit worse than that. We were literally coming back from lockdown. Everybody was quite excited to be playing football again. And our landlords informed us that they'd rented out the car park and the pitch for certain amounts of coverage for filming, and that certain points of time we wouldn't be able to use it. So initially we were hugely disappointed. But we got in touch with the people that are doing the film and just said, can you do something with some shirts for us? More in hope than anything else. And thankfully, yes, they did. And they came back and they've given our crowdfunding a huge boost.
So have the club forgiven Tom Cruise? Because I must admit, I was so desperate to get back and play my team, the Poly. If somebody had said, look, they're filming now, I'd be like, of all the places and all the world, what are they filming on our pitches? How can that fit into Mission Impossible 7? Mm. But you've forgiven him, have you?
Well, I think they've more than made amends, because the publicity that it's generated has enabled us to generate an awful lot of interest in the crowdfunding. And this is all about grassroots football. So, you know, this is from kids from under six up to adult, really, and girls and boys and disabled and all the things that go on with that. But most of all, the extras that we do as a club, we were losing because tournaments weren't taking place. And that's about 30 grand's worth of income for us over the last 2 years. So, this is a huge lifeline for us, and also helps us out in terms of expansion, because as the name implies, we're sort of based around the Woburn and Wavendon area. But Wavendon is an area in Milton Keynes. It's actually the fastest growing area in Milton Keynes. So there's an awful lot of demand there for grassroots football. And we've got a new ground that we're going to be opening up, and it'll enable us to spend some money on it and put to goalposts in place and all the other equipment. So it's huge, really. And yes, never really had anything against the guy. I mean, he's doing his job, isn't he? People make it happen, and he lands his chopper where it needs to go, I guess.
The Woburn and Wavendon shirt signed by Tom Cruise is quite an eclectic item, isn't it? So, I mean, how do you set a price on something like that? It can't be easy. Can it?
No, it wasn't easy, and I think that we got it hopelessly wrong, really. I think we misjudged the market, and yes, instead of what we should have put on it, yes, they went for a song, really.
How much did you sell them for? How much did you, and what was the price on them then?
I think it was 150 quid for wow. each, so yeah, it was well below.
And they're beautifully framed, I see. This one, it's got Mission Impossible 7 and a little action still from the film, and the shirt's beautifully. I mean, it looks well worth £150, I'd say.
Yeah. I think so, but as I said, I think the interest that it's generated has more than made up for that. And I think I also said at the time, Matt's not going to like me for saying this, I guess, because I know you're a Cambridge fan, but I'm a keen hatter, and I always thought that the prime frame that we had would be one from the Luton Town squad and signed by Mick Harford. And sure enough, it's up there at 350 at the moment.
Yeah, so I'd take a Mick Harford shirt, even if it is dirty Luton. I'd take that over a Tom Cruise shirt. The key with this, and I do loads of stuff with grassroots with my team, and you will know this, is just, you know, it's been such a difficult time, and it was a difficult time anyway, even before the pandemic. And there are so many, you must have so many people who volunteer, who, you know, put their own time in and put their own money in just to make everything happen for youngsters, adults, whoever, to play football.
Yeah, I think we're only just beginning to sort of scrape the surface of the implications of all the lockdown and how it's affected everyone, because there have been obviously a restart. Lots of people have been coming back, but people aren't quite the same. And I think we're going to have to work awfully hard over the next few years to engage with people, make sure that we can help them, ease them back into it, and allay their fears. But because grassroots football, as you know, is huge. It's something which really helps the nation, not just the people that are involved with it. And we're all passionate about it, and really disappointed when we got hit back with the COVID pandemic. But things are looking brighter, so good. That's all positive.
Could this be maybe the springboard for Tom to get more involved? We've seen Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney at Wrexham. I mean, maybe just signing those couple of shirts, he'll be looking out for your results. Next thing you know, you'll have Harry Kane playing up front.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, we're not quite in that league at the moment. We're only playing the sort of the local leagues, and at the moment we haven't even got an adult team, although that's probably changing very shortly. But yes, obviously, you know, we've got a shirt that'll fit him, so yes, he can come along and play. That would be great.
Brilliant.
Or whatever he wants to do.
That'd be good if he turned out for the team, wouldn't it? Just wonder what he'd be like. Imagine
fullback.
You imagine he'd be sort of like
He's still in decent shape. He could be a box-to-box. Could be a box-to-box. Good. Midfielder, yeah.
Be in the vets.
Or just he'd play on the last man, maybe. Yeah. Quite quick, isn't he? Yeah, big man next to him.
I mean, imagine that all through the game, though, the clog he'd get, the sort of stick from other players. Yeah. I'll give you Mission Impossible. Yeah, and it'll be all that all the way through, wouldn't it? Anyway, good to talk to you, Robert. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for your support, guys. All the best.
Thank you.
Yeah, chairman of Woburn and Wavendon FC there, Robert Hill. And well done to Tom Cruise for signing the shirts and doing his... He could have... Don't look me in the eye, could have been one of those.
Could have been.
He did his bit for the club as he inconvenienced them.
Jake says on most random thing you've seen people carrying at football, etc. It's a great story. Millwall's last ever match at the Den v Bristol Rovers. After the game, we were standing outside the pub on Old Kent Road. A fella came along with a crossbar, put it up against the wall and said, "Can you keep an eye on that?" Went inside to get a pint.
Yeah. Well, the last game at the Lane, that people were just taking a lot of the signage in the old... By that stage, because they'd moved us out of our old seat, we were in what is the wall now in the old and Park Lane. And people there were taking massive bits of signage. There was one guy trying to get out the ground. I mean, you can't surreptitiously take something like... I think it was over one of the bars. It must have been about sort of 8 foot long. He's trying to get it out, and the stewards have had it off him. And he looked at him, he said, well, what are you going to do with it? Doesn't, but they wouldn't let him. They wouldn't let him take it out of the ground. People were just raiding it all. And of course, the club were selling their selling the seats. You could buy your seat that you'd sat on. The trouble is, they'd moved this from our old seat, and I've sat or stood in so many different places in the ground over the years.
But then you put it.
But the thing was, and it was, you know, I know you find that hard to believe, but Tottenham looked on that as a kind of commercial exercise, and they put it in a nice box and gave you a certificate of authenticity. But I think they charge you about £50 for your old seat
for a seat in a box,
a plastic blue plastic seat in a box. £50. But what some people did was turn up with the appropriate tools to to remove their own seat. There was quite a lot.
Quite to smuggle that in, isn't it? I'm not an expert on tools. We've been there.
As people were walking in, there was an awful lot of, you could hear the kind of rattling of spanners in people's pockets. I knew someone who actually sized up the size of the nut the game before, thinking, yeah, look at that one. And so, yeah, a lot of people just sort of took it into their own hands. They haven't got it in a beautiful presentation box, but they're £50 better off.
Can I ask the listeners, if anyone does have a seat, hopefully taken legally from a ground, what do you do? Does anyone sit on it? I mean, quite hard, isn't it? You've got to get the back.
It's
as
not
well.
The whole seat. It's you not the whole mechanism. It's just the back.
I'm not interested in those.
It's just the back of the seat.
I want to know the whole seat. And if you put it in the kitchen, like conveniently, so you can sit down and go, all right, and just nod to the people that, you know, would sit next to you.
If you manage to salvage a bit of the old ground and smuggle it out, do let us know over the years. Enough grounds have changed, of course, in recent years. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. What was it and in what circumstances, and or the ones you got knocked back on trying to? I mean, I know technically it's theft, but they're closing the ground down anyway. And as long as it wasn't the takings from the till at the bar, then I think maybe we can cut you some slack today. Within reason.
We won't arrest you.
We won't pass it. Anyway, yeah. We can't promise you an amnesty, but we just won't read them out. I really wish I'd not started this conversation.
Have you committed any crimes? Do you want to admit them now on the radio?
But anyway.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon. Birthday spread tomorrow, Max.
Yeah,
how are you
feeling?
It's a big
one, isn't it?
17-2, is it? Or is it 18?
I think it might be 18-2.
18-2,
okay. I feel that's
dangerous
scoreline. Yeah. I'm confident.
Good. Okay. Well, it was a fantastic game last week. We'll see what happens tomorrow at 3:30. Join us if you can. If not, it will be available on the podcast.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.